Welcome to the Men on Purpose podcast, featuring dynamic conversations with emerging and established visionary men on purpose. Thanks for joining us today as we celebrate the men on purpose who are committed, creative, courageous change makers all around the world. Now, here's the host of Men on Purpose, Emerald Greenforest.
And welcome to another episode of the Men on Purpose podcast, where we celebrate men on purpose and provide our listeners with wisdom and immediately actionable steps to be more purposeful, powerful, and positive in their impact and their leadership. This is your host, Emerald Greenforest, and today we have our very special guest, Dallas Michael Sear. Dallas says, "I am the purpose. I'm here to live the fullest expression of my unique divine essence. In doing so, I've been assisting to wake up, serve my clients for 9 years as a speaker, master life guide, spoken word artist, and conscious business mentor. The work of assisting people living on and with purpose got a whole lot deeper for me when I had a powerful talk with my father and I realized he had gone through his life feeling lost, uncertain, and as though he had no purpose and not knowing or understanding his unique gifts and his genius. I could hear the pain in his voice and see the trappings of his life because of it. It simultaneously broke my heart and woke me up to an illness in the world and why I have the specific drive and gift that I do." So I actually asked Dallas to be on the show because I've been watching him on Facebook and seeing some of the things that he's posted and just really enthusiastic about his way of delivering the message of being on purpose. And so thank you so much for coming, Dallas, to be on the show. I really appreciate having you here.
Thank you. It's my honor. I'm excited.
Yeah. Well, I like to start with talking about the calling. So clearly you have a calling story and we talked a little bit about it there in the intro about, you know, what happened with your dad. So I'd love to have you go a little bit deeper into that. And, you know, kind of we've got the surface level of that story, but I'd really like to hear how that conversation activated you, what that felt like being activated inside you, and, you know, kind of what it took for you to finally say to yourself, like, I've got to do something about this for people.
Well, interestingly enough, that conversation was only a few years ago. So I was pretty activated. It just kind of brought my work and my intention in the world full circle. It gave it another layer, both of understanding, of depth, of purpose, really, you know, because I felt activated since I was like, you know, since I was very, very young. I was always kind of like performing and acting out in a very expression-filled child and entertaining and just, you know, also very light. My mom said I never cried ever. So I was just happy and very like, you know, full of life, even though we grew up in a very like difficult area and very, you know, poor. We were broke. So, but I just always had a cheerful disposition. But around the age of 19 is when something kind of deeper landed in my gut. I started having this feeling like I was here for something, you know, like this kind of underlining gnawing and knowing that I was like destined for you know, to really put my stamp on the world. And I recognize now after that conversation with my dad a few years ago that there's a saying that, you know, the listeners may have heard is like the sins of the father will visit the sons, you know. The same is, so sins, if we go back to the original, you know, kind of meaning to the word, the original etymology, it's just to miss the target or to make a mistake. It's you know, it's not peril for the rest of your life in the fire pits of hell, in my opinion. So those missed targets, those mistakes, those missed opportunities will also visit the children. It's this ancestral desire being passed on, this kind of like unfinished life that we almost get to complete for our parents. And we're not here to live for them. I don't want to make the mistake of giving that understanding. Yet it's interesting how this just deep feeling, internal feeling in me that I was, that I needed to find my purpose, that I was here for something. What is it? You know, like, what am I supposed to do? And how come I don't know what I'm supposed to do? So like that frustration I imagine my dad having when he was much younger, right? And that feeling combined with the feeling that I'm meant for something, I'm supposed to be here for something, was really a big underlining current for my drive and for what pushed me to go into entrepreneurship and to really, you know, at least from my frame of the world, to live as big as I could. Obviously, as my frame continues to grow, it just gets bigger, and it could have meant a lot of things when I was younger. But for what I had as a frame of the world and my background understanding, I tried to really like continue to grow, and it was because of that feeling.
Beautiful.
And then it just, the light went off. I had that talk with my dad because I wanted to understand, like, why did you leave when I was 11 years old? You know, why did you go all the way across the country and leave us, even if, you know, you weren't happy with mom? You know, why'd you leave the whole state? Why'd you go 3,000 miles away? And the story I had made up, because I had never asked in my whole life, and the story I made up in my head was very different. And I never really thought like he was trying to, like I did something wrong, or he was trying to escape from me, like I've worked with a lot of my clients, which I completely understand that thought too. But I did make up a story that wasn't true until I actually spoke to him and understood why.
Beautiful. I love that you had the courage to ask, because a lot of people go through their whole life with the story in their head that's not even true. So bravo for you for asking. So some of the things that you said in there, I just really want to pick up on, and then I'm going to spiral back around to courage again. But you know, one of the things that I have become aware of myself is this whole idea of the lineage and the ancestry. And, you know, I think two pieces that I want to just pull out. One is that I feel like, you know, we're in this place when we are looking at the older generation and they're looking at the younger generation. And sometimes we have, you know, what's known as the gap, right? The generation gap. But from all that I knew as I was growing up, like kind of the prevailing messaging was, you know, we're working hard to make things better for our children. And then things are better for the children. And then the parents are like kind of not happy about that because, you know, there's this, I don't know, with millennials especially, there's a lot in the culture about they're entitled. Well, if the intent of the parents was to make things better for the children, like what does that look like? Does it look like things are better, right? So I don't know if you have anything to say about that. But the other thing I wanted to say is I read a book by Maladoma Somme called Of Water and the Spirit, I think it's called, or The Healing Power of Africa. He wrote two books, both amazing books. And he talks about his people. And when a child is born in their culture, the entire tribe sings and prays and goes into ceremony to apprehend the purpose for that child being born. And then they name the child based on that purpose. Right. So I'd love to have you talk a little bit about kind of like the lack of that kind of framework in our own culture and, you know, like maybe what you're doing to help people who are craving, like, what is my purpose, to be able to distill that since they didn't have their tribe, you know, kind of source that for them.
Right, right. Great question. And I'm familiar with that ceremony. So thank you. Well, I can tell you in terms of just with the second part, anytime that a culture doesn't really have a kind of coming of age process, you know, a recognition of the maturity of, you know, someone moving into their maturity, and I think we tend to stay in these childhood places much longer, in these places of doubt, or in these places of a lack of clarity, and because we're not taught how to find our own North Star. So what tends to happen then is we can only then do what we're conditioned to do. right? So the patterns, the behaviors, understand, I think people don't really give credit to or understand just how strong our biology is. On a biological and cellular level, how deeply programmed in our DNA we are for centuries and centuries and centuries. I mean, our precognitive ability to think and make sense of the world, they say didn't come online inside of our brain maybe, I don't know, 30,000 years ago. So before that, it was pure primal and emotion. And so that part of our system is so deeply entrenched that if we don't have those types of experiences, then it makes it so much easier for the patterns to run the show, because we don't have an understanding of where to go to connect with our own North Star. And so if you don't have that, then what are you left to? Right? You're left to these patterns, conditions that are not yours. You're left to apathy. A lot of people just, they become resigned to their circumstance, because even if they do see a better way, how else do they meet it except with frustration, because it seems so daunting, because not only do they got to get themselves to get where they can maybe see where they want to go, they've got to do it against this current of people who are also suffering with the same thing. So it's like you could see those B-roll video footage of like the one person going up this stream of crowd coming down the street in like Tokyo or New York. You know, you're that salmon trying to swim upstream and fight the current, because everyone around you in the field, literally in the energetic field, is also feeling the frustration, the anger, the apathy for not knowing what they're doing or where they're going. And so it's so easy to get swept up in the current. I mean, I did that. For 7 years, almost 7.5 years, I was a financial planner, and I kind of stumbled along my way, which a lot of people do. And it's beautiful because there's no mistake. A lot of times when I'm working with clients, I show them just so clearly how every single event was a perfect piece of the puzzle for where they are right now and the next place they want to go. Mm. They set themselves up perfectly. Mm. They could have set themselves up perfectly in a different way, because there's degrees of perfect, right? There's so many people in the spiritual community, oh, it's perfect, everything's perfect, it's as it should be. Yes, and there's degrees of perfect. And so yet, it does help us to feel more, I think, at peace with our circumstance when we think we're off the wrong path or going the wrong way, and we do all these judgment shaming things, and we see instead that we were falling along beautifully. Mm. And it's all perfect pieces of the puzzle for wherever we want to go next. We can always change the tide. But it's so difficult when you don't have those circumstances of people either assisting you in these, you know, rites of passage experiences, so that you have that North Star and this understanding of who you are, why you're here, and what you're here to do. And so I believe in destiny, but one thing I want to make clear is I don't believe our purpose is our vocation. It's not necessarily the work you're here to do. It's literally the essence of your being, and you can do that whether you're standing in line at fucking Starbucks, pardon my language, or if you're, you know, the CEO of a major corporation, or whatever it looks like for you. You can be on purpose if you're sweeping the floor. So that's the first thing I want to say is, and then not only do you get swept up in the current, if you have that apathy, then of course you're going to want to be obsessed with television. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's so easy for unbiased news, which is a complete oxymoron, unbiased news. It's the news. It's supposed to be unbiased. It was never supposed to be biased in the first place, but now it's just opinion television instead of news television. But this, the news sweeps you up, and you become a soundbite machine for the news media. You become apathetic because you're not connected to your own purpose, and therefore it's so much easier to numb yourself out with television, with sex, with drugs. It's so difficult for you to fall asleep because this underlining anxiousness in you of not knowing what to do or where to go. It's so easy for you to be, every shadow has either an aggressor, where you're going to lash out in the world in some way, or a suppressor, where you're going to go into a depression and you're going to turn inward. Every shadow has both. And sometimes people don't realize that when someone's lashing out, they're just as scared as the person who's cowering in the corner, if not more so.
Sure.
Right? Because of those two polar sides of the shadow. So that's one thing about not having those experiences in our culture. The thing about the millennials, I argue that all the time. I feel like they're more turned on than anybody. And it's because they do feel an entitlement, because we are entitled to our divinity.
Absolutely.
We are entitled to peace. We are entitled for things to be easy.
Exactly.
It's this old world thinking that we have to fight and build, but that's the age we're coming out of.
Yeah.
They want things to be easier. They're seeing that whatever the previous generations was doing isn't freaking working, and they're frustrated. Yeah. And it's their way of expressing it. But I also see a lot of them going into entrepreneurship. There's more young entrepreneurs, I think, than ever.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting time, but I don't think they're just kind of self-entitled and brats or lazy or whatever, you know, title we want to give them. I don't think that at all.
All right. Well, we're going to have to take a short break right now.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your clarity around that. I appreciate that. And yeah, if our predecessors wanted to make it easier for us and now it's easier for us, why are they complaining that it's easier for us, right? Hello. It's pretty funny. Anyway, we are going to take a short break. And so I want to thank all of our listeners for downloading, rating, and reviewing. We've already had thousands of downloads from all over the world. I want to shout out this week to our latest listeners in Cyprus. Welcome, Cyprus. Thank you so much for tuning in. And we will be right back with Dallas Michael Sear.
The Men on Purpose podcast is brought to you by the Creative Age Consulting Group. Men, are you ready to take the leap and go deep to discover the most meaningful mark you can make with your life? Is now the time to consciously craft the legacy life you want to lead? Are you already a legendary leader looking for your big what's next? Creative Age Consulting Group is hired to help men just like you to gain clarity, create consciously, and commit courageously. Please visit timetomakeyourmark.com to apply for an invitation-only consultation. Be sure to apply for a consultation today if you have been inspired to receive support in serving your purpose and making your most meaningful mark. Once again, that's timetomakeyourmark.com, or click on the link in the show notes for access to the application.
And we are back with our special guest, Dallas Michael Sear. Before the break, we were talking about entitlement. We were talking about rites of passage. We were talking about all kinds of wonderful things. And I want to make sure that everyone knows exactly how to get in touch with him, so that if you would like to go from adversity to abundance, which is kind of a little bit of the kernel of what we were talking about there, you can go to his site, adversity2abundance.com, and two is spelled T-O. So adversity, A-D-V-E-R-S-I-T-Y, two, T-O, abundance, A-B-U-N-D-A-N-C-E.com, and we will have that link in the show notes for everyone as well. So let's talk about courage, because, you know, you were talking about the salmon swimming upstream, and kind of part of the work of our generation, this cohort of people who are on the planet who are questing for purpose is to be fighting, going upstream like a salmon, kind of not fighting, but just literally saying, no, I'm not going that way. I'm going this way. So I'd love to have you talk
about
courage.
I did it my way.
Sing it for us, Dallas. Go, baby. That was like programmed in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So talk about courage. Talk about doing it your way, and talk about, like, what are the things? Do you have maybe one or two things in your toolbox that you do to exercise your courage muscle?
Yeah, courage is an interesting word. For me, it's the idea of not knowing, you know, not trying. It's interesting that you're asking about the word courage, because I don't use it very often, or really at all, now that you're bringing it up, because I don't know if I do recognize that fighting that stream, or, you know, going against the current, it, like, really listening in internally, and then choosing something other than what you may be completely surrounded by, or even other than what you may have yourself been choosing for the last whatever, however long, 5 years, a decade. I recognize in you using the word that, yeah, that probably does take a lot of courage. You're spot on. And yet, I've noticed that it gets so much easier. It becomes this natural way of being when you surrender. So the word for me this year has actually been surrender, which is probably one of the most courageous things that we can do.
Okay.
And what I know, especially for men, you know, I've been working with both men and women through major life transitions, big divorces, massive career changes. They're the phoenix rising out of the ash. They're really looking for new direction. They may have had their ladder up against the wrong wall for decades. You know, they're redefining who they are. They're rebirthing themselves and coming into a new identity, or they're wanting to figure out what's next for them. They've worked their tails off. They've probably made a lot of money, and yet they're not fulfilled. They're not connected. They're not at peace. I can go on, right? They're agitated. They're frustrated. They used to have clarity when they were driven, because they were driven by this outside source of get married, have kids, or they were driven by this outside source of accomplish this thing and build that thing. And then it didn't answer all their problems. It wasn't the thing. It wasn't, and the whole world's perfectly aligned. And now they have this, you know, this internal frustration. So I've worked with that for so long. And what I've recognized is one of the hardest things to get a person to do in that place is to surrender, because that's their idea of giving up, of quitting. And so it takes a lot of courage. If I'm going to speak to the word courage, it takes a lot of courage to surrender. I'll sometimes work with clients who might be very linear or you know, left brain or masculine in their energy. And the hardest thing for them to do is nothing, because their whole identity is framed by what they're doing.
Totally.
It's and because we've had such a patriarchal society and a masculine driven, at least in the Western world, but much of the civilized world, it's been that way. So the women too, absolutely. Sometimes worse than the men, because they've had to prove that they can be at that level, and so it's sometimes even more entrenched. So the idea of surrender becomes like, well, you know, so then what do I, so the answer is, well, then what do I do? And to say to someone in that place, do nothing. I dare you to do nothing. It, all of a sudden, the vacuum and the power of this like black hole that they've been unconscious to, just, it's like someone just turned on the on switch and it feels like they're getting sucked in and they're going to disappear and vaporize. And that's not actually what's going to happen, but it feels like a death. It feels like you're going to be sucked into nothingness. Like, but I'm going to meditate, right? You want me to journal? I'm like, sure. But before that, do nothing. Mm-hmm. Just surrender. Be in the space and just be a witness to all of the chaos. I have this theory that I've been working on, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, but I might be. But it's the idea that the Think Positive movement has been one. It absolutely assisted us in the early stages to move us, of course, into a lighter direction. It had its intention, but the intention got lost, I believe, because thinking positive is wonderful, except now if you're not thinking positive, then we judge what we are thinking, and we're constantly in judgment of all these other thoughts that we're thinking, or of other people thinking these other thoughts, because thinking positive comes with feeling positive. And if I'm not thinking positive, I'm not feeling positive. If I'm not thinking and feeling positive, something's wrong.
Yeah.
And actually, that is incorrect. It is not right or wrong. It just is what it is.
It's
yet,
a
in my personal opinion,
it's a sin.
Yeah,
it's a sin
mistake.
Right there.
Exactly.
It's a sin.
Yeah, you're missing the target. Exactly. Thank you for bringing that back. Because honestly, then we demonize all the other thoughts, and we don't give ourselves permission to see those thoughts, to witness them. You know, it takes courage to witness those thoughts, all the things that we've been denying and suppressing and ignoring for however long, that has now created whatever chaos that we're in, or whatever frustration that we're in, or heartbreak that we're in. It really takes courage to look at that. It takes courage to sit and do nothing, and to trust that life is living in me, as me, and through me. You are being breathed. You are being breathed into existence. Your purpose is being breathed into you. And so if you were to pause, we think we'll just sit there and the house will crumble around us, and we won't know what to do, and we'll go bankrupt, and we'll fade away and die. But that's the ego And I love my ego. The ego is very important in this duality, you know, world reality, that this duality reality that we live in. You know, it's a beautiful necessity. There's no, like, we didn't come into this existence with any parts that were extra.
Yeah.
It's
all divine, every bit of
it. Yeah, it's all divine. Exactly. We don't have junk DNA. Yeah. We don't have an ego we need to kill.
Yeah.
nothing gets brighter and lighter when we're out there killing things. It's the old masculine idea of killing the ego.
Yeah.
So yeah, but yet it is the ego at play.
Sure.
You know, when we can't be still and trust that we'll be guided, trust that the guidance will come from within, because technically, wink, wink, everything is coming from within. So you just keep projecting onto the screen. That's all we're doing.
All right. Well, and we have projected onto the screen as long as we can possibly do today. And so, wink, wink, it's time for us to be complete. But I'm really glad that we ended our time together talking about that, being still and, you know, giving ourselves permission to do nothing. So that's perfect. And I'm very excited that you were able to come and be with us, Dallas. We are going to have to say goodbye. And thank you for being here. Listeners, we love feedback. Please let us know what you thought of today's show, or send in questions or suggestions to listeners@menonpurposepodcast.com. We might even give you a shout out on the show. Please make sure you check out Dallas at adversitytoabundance.com. I want to thank you all for tuning in. Keep your ears open. And remember, you are magnificent men.
Thanks for tuning in, downloading, and listening. Be sure to review and rate Men on Purpose on iTunes and share with other men who can benefit from today's episode. Men on Purpose is the premier podcast series for informing, activating, and inspiring the leader who has made his money and knows that now is the time to make his mark. We welcome your feedback and guest suggestions and invite you to subscribe to our mailing list to be notified of each new episode at menonpurposepodcast.com.